broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio, podcasted by prontpops.wordpress.com and kduxwebradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today's the Monday edition of the Pronk Pop Show. I want to make an announcement. We will not have a show tomorrow because we will be preempted. This happens the first Tuesday of every month by the Board of Trustees of the Dallas County Community College District. So we will not be having a show Tuesday. I'm telling you this because I'm a little bit behind in the post-production. This Monday show will be posted by 10 o'clock tomorrow, but starting Wednesday, I should be having the show up by 10 o'clock that evening, at the very latest the next morning. So we'll be catching up because of this not having a show Tuesday. Now, what I want to cover today is something that has been in the news, surprisingly, for almost a week, and that's the fact that Donald Trump is being sued in a class action suit concerning the activities of Trump University. And he decided about 10 days ago not to, well, to surprise, it surprised me, discuss this at a public event and go after the judge that's hearing the case. Now, you need to understand, this is a federal judge, and the federal judge cannot comment, cannot respond to Donald Trump. Now, it surprised me that Donald Trump did this because this is very much what politicians and their advisors would say, going off a message. And he really went off message here because he's had a number of opportunities that really are not being taken advantage of. Namely, Hillary Clinton attacked him last Thursday, and we had a bad jobs report Friday. I would have thought Donald Trump would have gone after both the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton. Instead, what is the media doing? And he should be smarter than this. The media is accusing him of being a racist. Now, I'm going to play in a few minutes the entire 12 minutes of Donald Trump's part of his speech so you get an idea. One of the problems I have is one of the things that the media does is take things out of context and leave a lot of information out. And what they're doing right now is what the Democratic Party does and what the media does. They're playing the race card. They're calling Donald Trump a racist. Donald Trump's not a racist. But he brought this on himself. And he really needs to refocus his campaign on going after Hillary Clinton and President Obama, if he's going to campaign, and I think he is, for Hillary Clinton. They have a sorry record, both in terms of the economy as well as in foreign policy. But we're not talking about that, nor are we talking about, really, Hillary Clinton's legal problems. If you think Donald Trump has legal problems, and I don't think he does, I think he ultimately probably is going to win this suit. And I'll give you a little more background information. But you see, he has fallen to a trap. He knew that the media is trying to get him. They're playing gotcha journalism. And roughly 95-98% of the media today, especially in television, but also radio and print, they don't like Donald Trump. They want Hillary Clinton to be the next president of the United States. That's their candidate. They're doing exactly what the media did in 2008 and 2012. They're ignoring stories that really should be the focus of a lot of attention, and I'll get on that in a minute. And they're trying to get Donald Trump sidetracked, and to a certain extent, they've succeeded, because once Donald Trump gave them this opening, they went after him. And the stupid Republican Party, I'm not a Republican or Democrat, so some of the leadership are going after Donald Trump. I wish they had spent as much time going after Donald Trump as President Obama. I haven't added up the minutes, but I'm getting a distinct impression that the leadership in the House and the Senate are now racking up the minutes going after Trump. They better get used to it, because Donald Trump's going to win. He's going to get nominated for the Republican Party. He will be their nominee for president. And I think he's going to win. And if he chooses what I think is a conservative, a true conservative, not a neocon or someone that talks like a conservative but votes like a progressive or liberal, if he truly nominates someone with integrity, character, that conservatives or libertarians, for that matter, could say, I can support him because he put a VP on the ticket that is going to be able to tell Donald Trump or give Donald Trump the conservative / libertarian perspective, as well as be influential in Congress, whether it's the House or the Senate. So we're going to have to wait for that. That'll be in, I knew the date and it slipped, I think it's in July, middle of July, that the Cleveland Republican Convention will meet for several days. And I'm sure either prior to that or when it's going on, Donald Trump will announce who his pick is. I have no idea. There's a committee looking at that. Supposedly there are at least five names, and they're doing background checks, I assume, and gathering information. And ultimately, it's a, usually I would say whoever the vice president nominee is not that important. It's really whoever's at the top of the ticket. This time, I don't think so, because I think it could be a close election unless you pick a candidate that would unite the Republican Party in this case. In other words, someone that's definitely right of center, not left of center, because Donald Trump, at best, is right in the middle. And that's where I think he wants to be, especially in the general election. And that's why I think he wins. But what he can't win, though, he's made statements that he doesn't need the conservatives. Well, if he acts like that and picks a what I would call an establishment, somewhat left of center, liberal, progressive Republican, so-called rhino, I'm staying home. I'm sick and tired. I was sick and tired of having to vote McCain, and I stayed home for Romney. He's a big progressive flip-flopper Republican, and he still, see, he thought he should have been president, but the problem is when he got the chance and the opportunity, he did not attack President Obama. He didn't want to be perceived as a racist. And my point is this, you need to have a thicker skin than that. People are going to call you racist if you hold opinions that they don't like. That is a tactic. It's very much like political correctness. What's the objective of the practitioners of political correctness? They're trying to shut you up. That's what it's all about. They appeal to your emotions, and that's why when Donald Trump made a big deal of this, immediately he was called a racist. And they're still calling him a racist. Several days going on, I think it's about 10 days ago, they're still doing it. Now Republicans are coming out. Big mistake. See, Congress, last time I checked, they're in terms of public opinion polls, they're in the teens in terms of the American people supporting them. And Donald Trump is very much a protest against the lack of leadership, both in the House and the Senate, on the part of the Republican Party. You see, the Democratic Party has a trick. They'll call you racist. You ever train a dog? But what we have here is rollover Republicans. So when Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton says, you're a racist, they roll over. They don't attack. They don't say nonsense. But who's the racist? And this is what drives me nuts. I think the two biggest racists are President Obama and Hillary Clinton. Now, some of you are going to say, man, he's crazy. Well, what is a racist? And what do racists want? I've met few racists, but I have met at least one I vividly remember. He was a retired postal worker, and I was on a sales call. And this gentleman did not like blacks, and he made you aware of that more than once. He was a white man, but did not like blacks. And I quickly got out of there. And then he showed me his knife collection. That's the one thing that stood in my mind. I didn't make the sale. I didn't want to make the sale. I wanted to leave. But he was trying to see whether I shared his views. I didn't share his views. And I politely determined that there was not going to be a close or a sale here and left as quickly as possible to my next appointment. But how do you tell? Yep, they'll call him the N-word. They don't want to associate with him. I'm talking blacks. They don't have friends. And if they could and get away with it, they'd kill him. Now, why am I saying this? What's the number one killer of blacks in the United States today? I'll tell you what it is. It's abortion. And what's the number one organization that does abortions? That's Planned Parenthood. And who is the biggest supporters of Planned Parenthood? It's Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. If you trace the history of Planned Parenthood, it originated in the eugenics movement with Margaret Sanger. Initially, she was not for abortions, but she changed her mind. And she spoke on several occasions to the Ku Klux Klan. And what has been the consequence, the inescapable consequence of the Roe versus Wade decision in 1973? That law made having an abortion legal. And as a result, approximately, the numbers go up and down every year. But roughly, round numbers, 1 million abortions have been performed in the United States every year. And a disproportionate percentage of those abortions, roughly a third to 35%, is black women having abortions. A slightly lower percentage is Hispanics, and the balance is largely white women. Blacks roughly consist, percentage-wise, between 12 to 13% of the population. So not quite three times the number of abortions are of black babies. And it's a little bit lower for Hispanic. If you were a member of the KKK, you would applaud that. Why? We have fewer blacks. You see, a racist doesn't like blacks, and if he could get away with it, he'd kick him out of the country or kill him. It's called black genocide. And the biggest baby killer, black baby killer today, as well as Hispanic baby killer today, is Planned Parenthood and other organizations that perform abortions. That's the leading killer. It's not heart attacks. It's not gangs killing people. It's not accidents. It's not cancer. As a matter of fact, you can combine all the other causes, and still abortions is the number one killer. The most dangerous place to be today if you're a black baby is in the womb of your mother. And that's what Hillary Clinton supports and Barack Obama. Now, some blacks understand this, but many blacks ignore that. They buy the argument, well, it's a woman's right to control her body. Oh, I agree. It's a woman's right to control her body. But she doesn't have the right to murder her baby except because of Roe versus Wade. That was a Supreme Court decision that should be overruled by a new law making it illegal. See, I favor states deciding whether abortion should be legal or not. That's not what the left, the progressives, want. It's not what the eugenics movement want. See, they divided people into those that are fit to live, and those that are unfit. And they wanted the unfit to be sterilized. At its heart, the eugenics movement was very racist. And it spread from England to the United States, and then United States to Nazi Germany. I bring this up because when you call someone a racist, you better be on solid ground. And the very people, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, who play the race card all the time, they support the leading killer of black babies and Hispanic babies in this country. Who's a racist here? You see, the media supports this point of view. I just got the message that I have to cut the show short, which is too bad because I just got it started. So what I'm going to do is continue this show Wednesday. And I do apologize. I originally had planned for another hour, and this literally happened at the last minute. So I apologize for that. What I will do is alert you. What I'm going to play, and you need to listen to this, is Donald Trump's full statement. It's roughly 12 minutes that he gave in a speech going over Trump University and his complaint with this judge. And I'll start with that and then give you my commentary. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for part two.
So let me tell you a little bit about San Diego, because we're talking about a rigged system, right? I have to say this. I was told, the lawyer said, don't do that. We're going to win. But San Diego is special for a lot of reasons. Some of my best friends live here. You may have the best weather on earth, okay? You may have. I've always heard it. but we have a couple of minutes. Does everybody have a little time? Yeah. So I end up with a lawsuit, and it ends up in San Diego in federal court. And it's a disgrace the way the federal court is acting, because it's a simple lawsuit. Everybody that took the so-called course, it's Trump University, is in San Diego. And the trial, they wanted to just start while I'm running for president. The trial is going to take place sometime in November. There should be no trial. This should have been dismissed on summary judgment easily. Everybody says it, but I have a judge who is a hater of Donald Trump, a hater. He's a hater. His name is Gonzalo Curiel. And he is not doing the right thing. And I figure, what the hell? Why not talk about it for 2 minutes? Should I talk about it? Yes? So we should have won. I'm being railroaded. So here's the story. Very simple story. A number of years ago, long time ago now, I open up a school, a little school thing. We called it Trump University, changed the name. We had probably, I don't know, a lot of people, like 10,000 people. The people, you, did you like it? She said she was there. She liked it. Here's the story. So we open up, and it really was successful from the beginning. Then we get these class action lawyers. They immediately sue. My people did a good job for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons was they had everybody that took the course sign like a report card. So we had, let's say, 10,000 people, almost that many signed a report card. And the report cards are unbelievable. By the way, without that, it's their word versus these people or me. But I'm getting railroaded by a legal system that, frankly, they should be ashamed. Because this is a case that I'll be here in November. Hey, if I win as president, it's a civil case. I could have settled this case numerous times, but I don't want to settle cases when we're right. I don't believe in it. And when you start settling cases, you know what happens? Everybody sues you because you get known as a settler. One thing about me, I am not known as a settler. And people understand that this whole thing, with this whole deal, with the lawyers, class action lawyers, they're the worst. It's a scam. So here's what happens. We're in front of a very hostile judge. The judge was appointed by Barack Obama, federal judge. I mean, frankly, he should recuse himself because he's given us ruling after ruling after ruling, negative, negative, negative. I have a top lawyer who said he's never seen anything like this before. So what happens is we get sued. We have a magistrate named William Gallo who truly hates us. And this is what? Now, the good news is it's a jury trial. But we can't even get a full jury. We're entitled to a jury. We want a jury of 12 people. And you're going to watch. First of all, it should be dismissed before the trial. But if we have a trial, we'll go all the way. Watch how we win it, because I've been treated unfairly. Very much like with the veterans, where I raised all that money. But on Tuesday, I'm announcing all of the groups that we've given almost $6 million to. You know, you turn things around. So here's the story. We have a law firm named Robbins Geller, where basically Robbins Geller is a spinoff of two law firms, Lyric Coughlin and Milberg Weiss. Two of those partners went to jail for an extended period of time for doing very bad things legally. This same group is the lawyers against. So what happens is the judge, who happens to be, we believe, Mexican, which is great. I think that's fine. You know what? I think the Mexicans are going to end up loving Donald Trump when I give all these jobs, okay? I think they're going to love me. So here's what happens. We get sued by a woman, and she turns out to be a disaster for them. Her name is Tarla Markoff, and she rated on the report card, it's 1 to 5. 5 being excellent, the highest mark. She gave me a 5. Across the board, all 5s. She then did a video saying it was fantastic, the most glowing video you've ever seen. She then sued me because she wanted her money back. She was such a disaster that this judge, it was her against us. She was such a disaster that this judge allowed her to get out of the case. But we want her to be in the case. And the lawyer said, Your Honor, we want her to be in the case. He said, She's out of the case. So now we have others. So we said, Dismiss the case. She's out of the case. No, we won't dismiss the case. So we have 10,000 surveys from former students giving Trump University rave reviews. It's called, and it's on the website, www.98%approval.com. Okay? Now, so we have Marla. So we have Makoff giving us these great numbers. Then we have another one. Bob Gillo. They used him. I think it was Bush. Jeb Bush, low energy. We have these guys making commercials. Now, look, in all fairness, it hasn't hurt me much because, you know, they use this thing and it's, every once in a while you have one. And we're going to win. But if I don't win, and even if I do win, we want to open, my kids will open it up again because it was a terrific school. It was great. It was good. So we have a guy named Bob Gillo. He appeared in a TV attack ad. Do you believe it? They used him on ads against me. I had 66,000 negative ads, over $100 million in Florida alone during the big primary, which I won in a landslide. We had 15,000 negative ads, and I almost wonder, what do ads mean, if you want to know the truth? So you have this guy, Bob Gillo. He appeared in TV attack ads, even though he rated the programs a 5, meaning excellent, the top mark across the board. His primary complaint was he would have liked to have more comfortable chairs, okay? Unbelievable. Then we have a guy named Art Cohen, and he was late to file. So he signed a survey in which he rated the program either a 4 or a 5. I will tell you this. How smart was it to ask everybody that took the course to sign a report card, okay? Now, you know what the lawyers are saying? The lawyers are saying, oh, but they were forced. 10,000 people were forced. They were forced. And you have pictures. We actually have videotapes of people. They weren't forced. A professor said, would you sign how you like it? So that's it. So he signed all 5s and 4s out of a possible, the highest marks, and indicated that his only complaint was a lack of nice lunch sandwiches. Okay? Think of it. So he was late. So they went to the judge, and the judge said, he's late. Why don't you file under RICO? Organized crime. Now, we've all been sued in business for RICO. Even Papa John, probably. We ever sued everybody. RICO's like, but they ended it pretty much. So I get sued. Here's a guy, gives me all good marks. He's late. So they're starting a new lawsuit. Now, here's the thing. This law firm, because this is like a life study, this law firm gave a lot of money to the Attorney General of New York, who's a total lightweight. His name is Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. Schneiderman accepts their money, goes to meet with President Obama in Syracuse, when Obama was in Syracuse, and in the next day or two, files a lawsuit against me because they, in my opinion, they gave him a contribution, then goes to see Obama. Just sort of see how the system works, folks. It's a bad system, let me tell you. So Obama meets with this dopey Eric Schneiderman, who hates our governor and he wants to run for governor, but I don't think it's going to happen. They go up to Syracuse, meets with Obama, and he files a lawsuit. So bottom line is this. People said, you can settle. In fact, a lot of people said, oh, before you run, you should settle. I said, I don't care. The people understand it, and they use it. So when I have 10,000 people, and when we have mostly unbelievable reviews, how do you settle? And in fact, when the case started originally, I said, how can I settle when I have a review like this? Every review is good. Now, I should have settled, but I'm glad I didn't. So I'll be seeing you in November, either as president. And I will say this. I have all these great reviews, but I will say this. I think Judge Curiel should be ashamed of himself. I think it's a disgrace that he's doing this. And I look forward to going before a jury, not this judge. A jury, and we will win that trial. We will win that trial. Check it out. Check it out, folks. And, you know, I tell this to people. November 28th, I think it's scheduled for. It shouldn't be a trial. Should be a summary judgment dismissal. By the way, friends of mine that are great lawyers, in fact, one of them represents you, said, how the hell do you get sued under RICO for a guy that took a course, loved the course, said great things about the course, and then you get sued under RICO? It is a disgrace. Now, I'm talking about Bernie Sanders has a rigged system. It is rigged. I'm talking about I had a rigged system, except we won by so much. I will tell you, this court system, the judges in this court system, federal court, they ought to look into Judge Curiel, because what Judge Curiel is doing is a total disgrace, okay? But we'll come back in November. Wouldn't that be wild if I'm president and I come back to do a civil case? Where everybody likes it. Okay.
Welcome back to the Prompt Pop Show. We had a sudden end of the last show, and I set up the playing of the Trump clip that I was going to play and interject my comments. Instead, I put in the entire, it's a little over 11 minutes. And I did it for a reason. Politicians know that it's very, very important to stay on message when you're in a campaign. And what they mean is, what are your central issues of the campaign? And you need to be explaining that to people. Remember, he was giving a Trump speech in San Diego, California. Now, I understand why he did this. Unfortunately, a lot of the so-called pundits and rollover Republicans, when the Democrats cry racist, they roll over. That includes Romney, Ryan, McCain, Lindsey Graham. They're afraid to be called racist. Well, if you're not a racist, you shouldn't be afraid to be called racist. That's why I got into that, and I'll spend more time on that in a minute. But you need to emphasize, in most stump speeches, including Trump, Trump has given this dozens of times, probably over 100 times by now. He has his stump speech down. He does vary it. You want to mix it up a little bit. And he's not reading from a teleprompter. And he's usually not reading from notes. You notice this time, if you go listen to the and watch the video, he has notes and he's reading parts of it from the notes. In other words, he has gone off his regular stump speech. Now, this is a good reason. He is in San Diego, and this is where this judge is from. So he's relating what's happening in his case. The problem is this. The American people could care less about Trump University and his legal problems. And I don't know if he's going to win the case or not. The research I've done is he has a lot of satisfied customers, thousands of satisfied customers. No complaints. Thought they got their money worth. But whenever you give any type of program, especially when you're charging $3,500, I understand, was the price of the materials that you got, you're going to be some people that don't like it. Now, what the Trump University did was make them fill out evaluations, which is fairly standard practice, both at colleges and in any work-related courses that you take. What'd you think? Did you like the presentation? Yes or no? Some go 1 to 10. They had a scale 1 to 5. Majority of customers thought they got value. And this is after they've taken the course. You have some dissatisfied customers. You're always going to have dissatisfied customers. And usually, it's they thought for $3,500 they should have gotten more. So there's a difference of opinion here. But what's the argument about? There are a few people that really complained, and that resulted in a lawsuit that they made a class action suit. And Trump is pointing out the lead plaintiff in this case filled out those evaluations, and she was videoed because you want to get testimonials, and gave it rave reviews. And now she's has what I call buyer's remorse. She thinks she can get her money back. That's what it comes down to, folks. I don't know how much she paid, how many courses she took, but that's what it is. Somebody thinks they can get the money back. And Trump could have settled this case, but he didn't. Because he thought he was in the right. He thought what he was selling under his name had value, and most of the people thought it did as well. And like I've taken not Trump's course, but I've been to some of these seminars. Usually my employer would pay for it. But during the course of the seminar, they would
say, if you want to buy my book or buy my tapes, you know, it's an extra $50, $100, whatever. I never bought them, but I always had the idea if I could get one good idea that could lead to one additional sale, it was worth the money. Because usually I'm making several thousand dollars a sale. And yeah, I remember going to one. It was a very simple idea. Send a letter out, you know, introducing yourself, indicating you're going to call for an appointment, and send a dollar. And this was years ago. And most of the people, you know, gave the dollar to their kids or whatever. But I got several good clients out of that. One of my best clients out of that. Now, what happens, and this is a lesson I learned, you stop doing it. It works, and you stop doing it because you thought you should have got more of a response. In retrospect, I should have continued doing it. It's only when I look back and do an analysis, okay, I spent $100 and I made $5,000, $10,000. I think that's a terrific payoff, folks. I should have been continuing doing it. But that's what happens when you're new to an area. And the problem with courses like that, you get some people that are already established in their field, whether it's real estate, insurance, investments, whatever. And they usually can get the most out of it because they pick up a couple of new tricks, if you will, tips or tricks. The problem candidates or problem customers will be those that are new to the field. And because they're new, many of them don't continue. They drop out. They can't make it. And they're the ones that I'm willing to bet some, if not many, of his plaintiffs that are suing him fall into that category. They thought because it had the Trump name, they were going to get rich. Well, it didn't work out. Why? They didn't apply the ideas. Now, I'm getting into the case, and I really don't want to get in the case. But if you've been sued, and I'm sure Donald Trump has been sued many times, he'd be the first to say you don't want to get a reputation as a settler. Because if you do that, that leads to more and more lawsuits. Oh, Trump is rich. Let's sue him. And you get a lot of bogus lawsuits. So Trump thinks he's in the right. And this has been going, this case, I understand, was filed in 2010, before he even was thinking about, or I should say definitely before he turned Republican and decided to run as for the presidency. Now, I'm giving this background because do you really care about the case? I don't care about the case. If Trump wins, good for him. If Trump loses, well, sorry. And I did a little research, and generally the judges ruled both in favor of the plaintiffs and in favor of Donald Trump and his organization, the defendant. It's sort of a split, and I'm relying on lawyers that have looked this over. I'm not going to spend the time and review the case. And that's typical of lawsuits. Sometimes you file a motion and the judge accepts it. Sometimes you don't. So I wish Mr. Trump luck in his lawsuit, but get off of it. And I think he'll get off of it. I'm sure he'll get off of it because he's learned a very valuable lesson. One, what is the media trying to do to him? And what are some rollover Republicans trying to do to him? They're trying to hang the racist label on him. I don't think he's a racist. The judge's parents were from Mexico. They immigrated to the United States. They became United States citizens, and the judge is an American citizen. But his heritage or his family is from Mexico. Being from Mexico, Mexican is not a race. It isn't. As far as I'm concerned, the only race is the human race. But Mexican is not a race. My background is Dutch, Irish, Scottish, primarily Dutch and Irish. But that is ancient history. I don't speak Dutch. I don't speak Gaelic. And if you talk to most Americans, they can tell you Trump is, for example, has German background and Scottish. I guess I have something in common. We're both New Yorkers, more or less the same age. And I know how New York, I'm very direct, and Donald Trump is very direct. Does that mean all New Yorkers are direct? No. New Yorkers also have a reputation for talking quickly. I have deliberately slowed down my pace of talking because, yeah, I could talk very quickly, but I lose people that way. I'm thinking rather fast, and if I talk that fast, you're not communicating well. So I intentionally, and I made a habit of slowing down and enunciating what I'm saying. Now, Trump got off message, and the media and the Democrats and some of the I think, very foolish Republicans are trying to label Mr. Trump a racist. That is unfair. Now, I'll be the first to say, Mr. Trump, if you're going to include this in your stump speech, don't go on for 10 or 11 minutes on this. It was worth maybe 3 to 5, and get your message down. Be clear, precise. And to be fair to Mr. Trump, and this is why I played the entire video, everyone is saying, well, he's an American. He's American. He was born in, I think, Illinois or Indiana, I believe it is. He was born in Indiana. He's an American. Well, I'm born in New York. I'm an American. But everyone has a family tree. And if you follow that family tree, you can trace it back to other countries. I don't like hyphenated Americans, Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, Native Americans. We're all Americans. Now, why I think Donald Trump and his lawyers think this judge is biased is the judge belongs to the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association. And La Raza, what does La Raza mean? It means the race. Now, there's a bunch of affiliates. It's the National Council of La Raza that I think is a racist organization. And there's affiliation with them. And if you go to the website of the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association, they have links. And in turn to the California, I think it's either La Raza or Latino Lawyers Association. I question the judge's judgment in belonging to this organization. I know why he probably did it. Because when he ran in the past, not now, he was appointed to this position by President Obama. And earlier in a lower court, district court, he would be below that. I'm getting a little confused. He was appointed by, I believe, Bush to one judge position, and then Barack Obama appointed him to another. Got a promotion, if you will. But if you're a lawyer of Hispanic origin, heritage, lineage, and you're in San Diego, and there is a San Diego La Raza, the race, Lawyers Association, most lawyers would belong to it. I understand that. But most of those that belong to it are activists and have a political point of view, and it's usually left to center. I don't think it's an accident that President Obama supported and nominated him. Let me really sharpen this. If you ever have a jury trial, part of a jury trial is they need to sit the jury. So you have lawyers on both sides, plaintiff and defendants, will ask a prospective juror some questions. What they're trying to learn is, could there be bias? They also want to keep certain people off the jury, like me, because I have rather strong points of view. I can articulate and I could sway a jury. They don't want me on a jury. So one or both of them would, no, thank you for coming, Mr. Pronk. We challenge Mr. Pronk. Mr. Pronk, the judge will say, you're excused. And it's an art. And sometimes on big cases, you'll have experts whether or not you want someone to be on the jury. Now, assume for a minute that the judge had jury duty. And I'm one of the attorneys. Let's say I'm the plaintiff. I'm suing somebody. And I ask the judge, now being questioned whether or not he's going to be on the jury, I'm going to ask him about his background. Oh, I'm an attorney. Oh, you're an attorney. Usually you don't want attorneys on the jury. Do you belong to any professional organizations? Yes, I belong to the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association. Either the plaintiff or the defendant is going to challenge and get that person off. And that's what Trump maybe he should have said when he went over this. You see, he wants a jury trial. Actually, what he wants is the case dismissed. I understand that. And when you dismiss a case, a summary judgment where the case is dismissed, it's because the other side doesn't have any evidence. If they have evidence, he doesn't make a judgment as to whether or not the evidence is good or bad. It could be very little evidence and not very good evidence, but he can't dismiss it, summary judgment. But if they have no evidence, and he determines they really have no evidence, then he will issue a summary judgment and dismiss the case. And what Trump is really complaining about, the lead plaintiff in this case, is part of a class action, when they did the depositions and looked into it, remember, she's suing Donald Trump. She wants damages. She wants her money back in damages. Gave glowing reviews to the case. I'm trying to give you, or trying to put you, in Donald Trump's place. He feels wronged. He doesn't want to settle. He thinks he's in the right. Now, the other side has their side, and I'm not taking anything away from it. Maybe they have grounds for being cheated. One of the claims was, or the advertising claim, that Donald Trump personally picked these professors or instructors or experts. Well, he didn't. That's fraud. But the real question, the essence of the question is, okay, but was the course good? And if you have thousands of people saying it was, in writing and some in video, including the plaintiff saying it, I could see where Donald Trump is coming from. Now, I've now spent more time than I wanted to on this case. But why do you think Donald Trump raised it? He raised it because during the primaries, his opponents raised it. He didn't really address it then. He tried to defend himself and says, we're going to win the case. Donald Trump is anticipating, and I think rightly, that Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party are going to use this against him as a club. And I think they are. If they're going to do it, though, I think there's a trap. And Donald Trump is laying a trap here. First of all, he knows that a good defense is an offense. So he's going on the offense. He's presenting his side of the story, admittedly biased. He's going to toot his own trumpet. No one else is going to do it. The media is certainly not doing it. The Democratic Party is not doing it. And the rollover Republicans, Ryan and Romney, they're not going to do it. They're jumping on, oh, he's a racist bandwagon. No, he's not. And Paul Ryan should have known better. I think Paul Ryan made a big mistake. See, he's getting money from corporate interests that want open borders, that want comprehensive immigration reform. That's why Paul Ryan is really challenging Trump. And I think Paul Ryan wants to run for president probably in 2020 or 2024. So I'm very dismissive of Paul Ryan calling the remarks that Donald Trump said. And that's why I wanted to give you the whole context. As textbook racism. I don't know, Mr. Ryan, what textbook do you read on racism? That's a rather strange comment. You see, Paul Ryan has spent too much time in the House, and I think too much time hanging around with Democrat representatives, and unfortunately the rhinos in the House. It's the Democratic Party that are using identity politics to get their candidates elected, and at the drop of a hat, call their opponents racist. It's nonsense, and anyone with some common sense and judgment can see through this. Donald Trump is a fighter. He doesn't roll over, and that's why the American people across this nation voted for him, and that's why he will be the Republican candidate for president. Not Paul Ryan, not Mitt Romney, and not the establishment crowd, Jeb Bush, John Kasich. They better get over it, and they better get over it fast, because come November, I believe Donald Trump's going to win in a landslide, going away. Now, to do that, he has to pick a good vice president candidate. I hope it's someone that truly is a certifiable conservative slash libertarian and would help him on the campaign. I hope it's not Chris Christie, by the way. I think Chris Christie, like he kept saying over and over again when he was running. He was a U.S. attorney. I thought he was running for president when he was saying that. Now, I think he was running for attorney general and maybe has eyes being the vice president. Mr. Trump, don't pick Chris Christie as your VP. If you want to make him attorney general, fine. Your problem is you're perceived by Republicans as well as independents that used to be Republicans. That's where I'm coming from. As at best a centrist candidate. I believe you're still a liberal Democrat at heart. Deep down in the recesses, you're still a liberal Democrat. And I understand that because I come from a family of Democrats. All my relatives were Democrats. My brother's still a Democrat. The Republican Party, they bought into the Republican Party is the party of the rich and the Democratic Party is the party of the working man. That might have been true 50, 60 years ago, but let me tell you, it's not true today. It is definitely not true today. The majority of the Wall Street crowd in New York City are big supporters of you-know-who, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and that includes George Soros. So amongst Republicans, amongst independents, he's considered slightly left of center or dead center. What's interesting is what I consider the progressive wing of the Republican Party, including the neocons, that were former Democrats that moved over to the Republican Party. And the biggest example of that is William or Bill Kristol. They're still anybody but Trump. And I was driving in, and I was hearing the several National Review writers. That used to be a conservative magazine. I dropped it a long time ago. They voted for Hillary Clinton in California. Well, good for them. I think all the neocon boat people should get in the boat and row right back from where they came from. Become Democrats. If that's what you, if you think that Hillary Clinton is going to be the next president and you think her policies are going to be better, vote for her. I think you're striking your true colors. I always suspected the neocons. They're the warmongers. They're the ones that want to build democracy across the world by sending your sons and daughters into country after country. They never seem to sign up. That's what I always noticed. There are exceptions to that. They're for a big government, really their status. They're for a big state, and they want that big state to intervene not only in the U.S. economy, but abroad. And that's some of my reservations about Trump. I'm for limited government. Trump's not for limited government. I know that. That's why I don't have a party. I don't have a candidate in this race. Does that mean I'm going to vote? Best thing I could say, I'm undecided. I know I will never vote for Hillary Clinton. But you see, Hillary Clinton has a number of problems. Now, the press wants to harp on Donald Trump's negatives. Oh, he has high negatives amongst some groups. And the one group they always cite is women. But they don't tell the entire story. Hillary Clinton has high negatives. She also has groups of people that you absolutely have to win an election. Who are they? Whites? Men? Yes, whites and men. You're not going to get elected president of anything in this country for the time being if you can't get whites and men voting for you. Now, don't say, well, I know at least one. No, I'm trying to make a bigger point. The majority of whites and men don't want Hillary Clinton as president. It's not they're against women. They know she is very much a corrupt, lying, incompetent, progressive politician. That's what they're against. They could care less whether she's a man or a woman. They have the same complaint with Barack Obama, and they don't want another 4 years of it. They don't. The American people have seen what the progressives have done to this country, and they want it stopped. And it starts by building a wall across the U.S.-Mexican border to stop the invasion. But that's only the first step. You have to go after all the illegal aliens that are here. 30 to 50 million of them. Adios, amigos. You broke into our country. You're breaking our laws every day. You're working and taking the place of American citizens that were born, educated, and raised here. And then you wonder, how dare the American people support a candidate that wants to kick you out of the country? Let me clue you in. The American people believe in the rule of law, and we have immigration law, and according to those laws, 30 to 50 million illegal aliens should be deported. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And the problem is we have a president that's not enforcing the law, and that's called tyranny, and what Hillary Clinton wants to do is double down on this. So Donald Trump will be the nominee, and he will go on to be president of the United States. Whether the Republican establishment, the big lie media, or the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton and Obama like it or not, there will not be an Obama third term. Get used to it. Thank God. This economy is stagnating. It's not much of a recovery. It's the worst recovery since the Great Depression. Donald Trump knows that. He, unlike all the other Republican candidates, made immigration an issue. Especially illegal immigration. He tapped in to the fact, and I've been saying this for years before Donald Trump ever came on the scene. I said any Republican candidate that would make immigration an issue will win. Jeb Bush didn't want immigration an issue, and that's why he's in Florida, and he won't be the nominee. And the problem with the Republican leadership, they're in the pockets of the big donor class, most of them out of financial services industry, Wall Street, if you will. They're more concerned about getting the big bucks so they can get reelected, and they could care less about the American people, and that's their mistake. That is their big mistake, and they're going to pay a price for it because you're going to see more and more people challenging, primarying both House and Senate seats. What I really think you're going to see, and it's probably still a few years away, you're going to see another viable, successful third party. Because why waste your time trying to convince the leadership of the Republican Party that's totally out of touch with the American people today? You see, you have to not only compete against the Democratic Party and then compete against the media that's not on your side, then you have your own Republican leadership against you. Eventually, you wake up to the fact that, listen, it's about time we had another party. The Federalists are gone. That's George Washington, Alexander Hamilton's party, John Adams. Gone history. The Whigs are gone. Gone history. Well, we're way overdue for another viable, successful party to challenge both the Democratic and the Republican parties. And that's what's going to happen. So Donald Trump will pivot probably tomorrow or whenever, at some point, be challenging Hillary Clinton and get off this Trump University. He did it, I think, to get it out and go on the offense. Because if Hillary Clinton brings this up, he'll go after Hillary and Bill Clinton. They have problems with Lorette Education and the International Youth Foundation in what looks like, on the surface, a case of bribery. That's what the press should be looking into and is not looking into, because they're biased. They're in the tank for the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton. Now, with that, I'll close the show with America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com.